Coming up on Patriots This Week, was it a playoff preview in Pittsburgh?
Cuts it right to the 10, to the 5, into the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots.
This is a tough place to play.
Two early scores had the Steelers playing catch-up at Heinz Field.
Into the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots.
Got to give our players a lot of credit. They hung in there, battled for four quarters.
After the Steelers cut the lead to one, a familiar combination counter.
Tom throws down the left seam for Gronkowski. Woo. Catch and stride past the 5. Into the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots.
Tom threw the ball perfectly. Right on the money.
Now, bring on the Bills. Rex Ryan's team was run over in Miami. And Tom Brady knows what's awaiting the Patriots in Buffalo.
We played in a lot of stadiums. Buffalo's definitely one of the tops.
You know what I mean, baby.
That's right now on Patriots This Week.
Week 7 in Pittsburgh presented a matchup of two teams likely bound for the postseason. Division leaders Patriots and Steelers met, and New England prevailed by 11. Even with the absence of Ben Roethlisberger for the Steelers, a good win nonetheless for the Patriots. And hi, everybody. Welcome to Patriots This Week. Bob Soucy along with Matt Chatham, a three-time Super Bowl champ for the Pats, and a former Patriot quarterback, and my radio partner at 98.5 The Sports Hub in Boston, Scott Zolak. And guys, as mentioned, no Roethlisberger, Marcus Wheaton, Marcus Gilbert not there for the Steelers off. The Patriots, meanwhile, getting out to a 14-0 lead against the Steeler defense. How did you like the start for New England, overcoming an early turnover?
Well, I like how everybody reminds everybody who was out in this game, but yet we didn't have our quarterback for the first four games. So I think we managed that pretty well, going 3-1 with Jimmy Garoppolo and Jacoby Brissett, but we got our quarterback back now, and I think things are set right now. 26 times he threw the football, so it wasn't I think it was a pedestrian day for Brady, even though he played really well. It's a good win. It's a good road win for this team. It's in Pittsburgh. It's a good fan base. You and I were there. It's a heck of an environment. I thought it was really good they won this football game.
It's one of those games, when I see it on the schedule, it's really difficult to communicate to people how tough it is to win down there. And you heard Bill hammer the point after, hey, it's hard to win here, hard to win here. In the post game, the post locker room talk, hard to win here. And it's like, yeah, it's easy to sort of ramble off all who didn't play. But for people that have gone there, it's like, I don't care.
Right.
We won in Pittsburgh. And Pittsburgh is one of those organizations that you think of a lot like this place. There's a steadiness. Yes, Landry Jones was there, but there's so much talent. They usually play at a similar water level regardless of what's going on. So it's good to win.
Pittsburgh's going to be a contender. They find a way to manage that game, be competitive, and that's exactly how I thought this game was going to go down. Right. Into the last quarter where it's a possession or two, and Brady hits Gronkowski on a strike right down the seam, and that was the game winner right there.
We got Gronk going. Brady found Edelman with regularity. So when you talk about Julian Edelman's early involvement in that game, how encouraged are you by that?
Well, I think there's a better rhythm there for them. I mean, 10 targets, 9 catches. I don't want to say slowly, but he's definitely moving in the right direction here. I think he and Tom for the last couple of weeks have sort of been squeezing a stick, so to speak, from a hockey reference, you know, trying to get that puck in. And I think it's just a pressure of, you know, we need to get clicking, and I think they will. It's still early. I mean, we're halfway through the season. They'll be fine.
Part of this was game plan, too, and I mean, the Steelers talked about it, and I think in part mirrored by what the Patriots were trying to do. Neither of these teams wanted to give up the stuff over the top, and a lot of that was, hey, we're not going to give up these shot plays to either of these two tigers. We're going to get crushed in the seams. We'll play over the top of these things, and they kept running these delay routes on the outside with Julian, letting him sort of work over the middle. They were not conceding it, but they were going to play on top of those routes. Julian Edelman is not Wes Welker. He's not exclusively a slot. This week, kind of, sort of, you know, and I think that's in part because of these two tight ends now and because Chris Hogan is really playing the X that Julian's played in years past.
Steelers usually a heavy blitz team. In this game, they did not blitz as much as usual.
It is a different defense with Paul Butler. You know, it's not Dick LeBeau's old 3-4 where they bring people off the edge. They sort of played that shell, and they had two high safeties, which eliminates you peeking at those tight ends, especially coming off the play action. So I thought it was imperative to do a little overload. They mixed and matched some things. They went unbalanced, which spread the splits out of the defense, and I think it created some holes for them, allowed them to get up on the linebackers. Matt, you know I'm talking about, the double block. They go down on the nose, they get up to the backer, and LeGarrette's running 3 yards through the line of scrimmage before he's touched.
Yeah.
So I think people are surprised that Blunt's this good. I'm not, because I think, you know, he has the ability to get skinny, and if they can keep the hits off him and minimize him, I think LeGarrette gets better in games the more you feed him the rock.
Just two parts of the story. It's certainly not taking away from LeGarrette. He's been running great, making the right cuts, running hard, all that stuff. The second half of that is the blocking has been next level. Nothing like a year ago. I think that's been one of the biggest improvements on this team, top to bottom, the way Nate Solder and Joe Tooney are getting movement, not just blocking and climbing, but blocking, climbing, and putting guys a full gap over.
They're finding a nice mix with this offense now. You know, we've seen them at the end of half, the end of games, really stepping on the gas. 8 minutes are left in that game, and I'm thinking, I'm looking at you, and I'm like, they're going to run this ball three straight times, which they did. It takes another 3 minutes off the clock. So I think they're learning to win different ways. This isn't the old Patriots where, you know what, this is going to be the bleep you tour, Brady's back.
And I think one of the big bright spots of this season has been their ability to run out of nickel sets, right? So the idea that you got three wide receivers on the go, you only have one tight end, it's not obvious run, but you don't have to go in a shotgun and do sort of draw, you know, which we've seen years past for 1 and 2 yard gains.
I think the biggest thing is you keep defenses honest now. So you got to back the safeties off, you got to back the backers off. So now all of a sudden the Patriots actually have a running game you need to respect. And
that's
good moving forward.
Brady again, get three conversions on his legs, right?
Tom threw 26 times. When's the last time Tom Brady in a win in Pittsburgh threw 26 times? Hasn't happened.
Now the Patriots took the 2-touchdown lead, but the Steelers closed the gap to 14-13.
Yeah.
And New England had the response, and it was Brady to Gronkowski, his 8th career touchdown against the Steelers.
That's the only time Pittsburgh made the mistake, right? You know, you saw the safeties. They switched. One guy came down, and boom, Brady goes right back up. So Tom came off the play action fake, had a guy in his face. He's still looking right. Came right back down that seam, but what a perfect throw. I think it was Brady's best throw yet the 3 games he's been back.
Now defensively, another terrific performance by Malcolm Butler, this time matched up with Antonio Brown. Butler has an interception in the end zone, breaks up another pass in the end zone, and save for a 51-yard completion from Jones to Brown. Maybe his best effort?
Yeah, I think he's getting healthier, and I think that's a big thing. When you see Malcolm plant that back foot and break on balls and knock him down with the left hand, he's getting there. And I think as this thing progresses, you're still going to see them play some zone, mix and match. Patriots really haven't dialed anything up on defense yet.
He looks comfortable against the league's best. We know what's out there. Doesn't get any better than that. You're not going to see something better than Antonio Brown, and he did not look stressed. I think that's a cool thing. When you just ISO on a dude and watch him, does he look overmatched? Does he have to give a little more cushion? Does he have to get into that break a little early because he's worried he's going to be on top of it? He didn't look like he was worried with Antonio Brown. I know Antonio got banged up there a little bit as well, but so is the corner. So I think it's a fair fight, and he handled himself really well.
Now, the Patriots once again missed a kick. Special teams a problem in this game. Wasn't the best effort by the Pats or best performance by the Patriots in every facet of special teams play, really. But Steven Gostkowski, leading scorer in franchise history, most accurate kicker in franchise history, misses an extra point. It's becoming a daily topic of conversation around here. Reason to be concerned?
I put it this way. You touched on the first part, which I think is actually a much bigger deal than Steve's thing. Usually you win in field position. So this was a week where kickoff was a problem. I mean, there was, what, 3, 4, 5? The guy out past the 25. So when you do the short kick, you do the great pop kick to make sure you don't have to concede the full 25, right? But they were getting out beyond it. So that's the first time we've seen that this year. So that's a new issue, and that actually has a much greater effect than the 1 point. But with Steve's deal, I think the biggest story here is you got to get out of the bubble for a second and realize there are being missed kicks all over the league. So all you've got now is a human kicker, right? You don't have the one who makes it every single time. So he's in a slump, but it's a few weeks, and it's relatively it just hasn't mattered. I mean, if these were kicks that had been at the end of games, we have a different conversation. But you want a guy to work himself out of the slump, the last thing you want to do is pile bricks on him. I think he'll work it out. I just think he's the kind of guy you don't worry about. One of the most talented legs in the league. That won't be different 2 weeks from now.
Yeah, we're going to Buffalo this week. Wing could be swirling. He hits a big kick right there. Boom, snaps him right out of it.
Well, here's the other thing, too, with rankings and kicking. He's 9-12, right? If he was 10-12, all of a sudden he's in the top half of the league.
In fact, he beat the Bills with a game winner, 2013 season opener. Patriots going back to Steven Gostkowski's former hometown, Buffalo, to meet the Bills this weekend. When we come back on Patriots This Week, we're going to talk about the other two AFC East foes right after this.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Putnam Investments, a proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork. By Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots. And by Waste Management, remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of. Waste Management's new Bagster, dumpster in a bag, can take it on.
This week's Putnam Player Spotlight is on Patrick Chung. The 5'11", 215-pounder has become invaluable in defending the run for the Patriots. Against the Steelers, the 8th-year safety out of Oregon led the team with 10 tackles, and his pass breakup against Le'Veon Bell in the end zone was a key play in the Patriots' win in Pittsburgh. The Putnam Player Spotlight is brought to you by Putnam Investments, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork.
Welcome back inside the Bob's Discount Furniture Studios as Patriots this week continues. Next up for the Pats, of course, the Buffalo Bills, who had a four-game winning streak going into the matchup in South Florida against the Miami Dolphins and then got run over by Jay Ajayi, who joins three other backs in NFL history to rush for 200-plus yards in back-to-back games. How are the Dolphins getting it done now with Ajayi leading the way?
Well, I think Buffalo, you look at Buffalo and you look at their ability to get pushed around a little bit. You know, Rex likes to get after people. He thinks he's a blitzing defense, but they're really not that physical this year. That's the one thing. I think they're more athletic. This doesn't bode well for Buffalo, because if you're New England and you're looking at this coming off Blunt's effort against Pittsburgh, you're going to think we're going to go to Buffalo and we're going to attempt to run this football, establish that line of scrimmage early in this game, and put a lot of pressure on Tyrod Taylor.
It's the problem that Buffalo, that Miami's had for years. They had Lamar Miller there, and they refused to run the ball that effective.
Yeah.
I mean, part of it was just attempts, as much as how effective they were with it.
It's tough playing down there. Let's face it. I mean, Miami's a house of horrors for a lot of teams.
But it changes things for them, right? I think if you want to hyper-critique Tannehill, and he's deserved it as many years as he's been the starter, life changes for them if all of a sudden they have this efficient running game. All of a sudden, all that money you spent on defense makes a little more sense. But Jay Ajayi, who was saying this three or four weeks ago? He's the top back in the league in the last 14 days anyway. Ajayi was running angry. I think that was the quote that they had said coming out of Miami, that he looks upset, and it's okay. You know, he had the little bump early in the season.
See if he now he gets the ball back. Well, yeah, I'm trying to do it 5 weeks in a row.
But you know what? He's a young guy, super talented, had some injuries early. Let him run.
Speaking of being upset, Ryan Fitzpatrick, after coming off the bench to help the Jets get past the Ravens, said he plays better when he's pissed off, in his words. Wasn't happy about being benched in favor of Geno Smith. He wasn't happy about sitting on the sideline and watching Fitzpatrick throw a lot of interceptions earlier this year. And then interesting the comments that Fitzpatrick makes, saying that the ownership, the coach, the GM didn't believe in him. And Todd Bowles responds by saying, if being pissed off helps you avoid turnovers, we'll take that.
And good for Todd Bowles. That was a great answer. And Ryan Fitzpatrick needs to remember he was out there as a free agent, which means he could have signed with any team. So he's pretty lucky that the New York Jets actually had still had interest in him, gave him $12 million. Anybody else could have signed him. Nobody did. So there really wasn't a market for him. So he's lucky to even have a team right now. Like Bull said, don't turn the damn ball over. You know, maybe you'd still be in there.
Right. But I think there's two sides to that coin. I 100% agree. I mean, when you have that many mistakes, you at any position in the league, you shouldn't be on the field. I mean, I think that just happens to everyone. But the other half of it is, man, he had a guy who's had a history of up and down play. The last thing you want him to do is sit home for 4 months and just show up to training camp. The fact that you got the old moves out of him, it's because you didn't keep him seasoned, keep him working with your guys, allow him to continue to grow in the offense. You let him go home. He came back. He played up and down. Well, that's what you get.
We began the segment talking Dolphins and Bills. We'll concentrate on the latter part of that matchup, the Buffalo Bills, Patriots' next opponent, right after this.
All right, time now for your Zoe Show. We're heading to Buffalo, the Buffalo Billy Goats. That's right. We're going to look at Lorenzo Alexander. You say, Lorenzo Alexander, is this Buffalo? Yeah, well, take a look at this kid. 9 sacks, 10-year journeyman. He's at the top of your screen. Look at the ability to get upfield, come back downfield at the quarterback. That's a strip sack. We don't like those. We got to protect number 12 here on the road. So moving on, freeze it right there. Okay, so we saw him off the edge. Watch the ability to press the pocket. Go ahead and roll the tape right here. Here he is, number 57, down inside, stops, gets the ball carry. This guy delivers hits. I'm telling you, hardest hitting linebacker, edge guy, plays special teams. And one more time, one more good look right up the middle. This is where you don't want Tom Brady to get any pressure. So the ability to communicate blows right through that right guard, destroys the quarterback. I don't want to see Tom Brady getting destroyed anywhere up there at Orchard Park. There's your Zoe Show.
The Zoe Show is brought to you by Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots.
We're back inside the Bob's Discount Furniture Studios. Patriots this week continues. And guys, right off the top, I noted that Pittsburgh played against the Pats last weekend without Ben Roethlisberger. Well, we know the Patriots met the Buffalo Bills for the first time this year with Jacoby Brissett at quarterback and without Tom Brady. He's back as the Patriots head to Orchard Park after being shut out in round one.
He really had two banged up quarterbacks if you throw Garoppolo into that mix. And Bill is not happy with that. All three phases, kicking game, defense, offense. Even though Buffalo scored 16 points and it was 16-zip, that game felt like it was 44-0. Yeah. You know, you call a game like that, you knew that thing was over halfway through the third quarter.
We're trying to give you a little player perspective here, but when you go back into a game like this, and it was such an oddball game, in-house here, I highly doubt there's a ton of breakdown on that. You know, whenever you play a team in the division, you play them the second time, you go back and watch the old film, you take the stuff that matters. I have a hard time finding much that will carry over here, right?
Yeah,
the offense is like, throw the tape.
You learn nothing from that.
Because
Bill was angry after that week, too. It's like, turn the page, I don't want to talk about Buffalo.
But on the defensive side of it, even though all those people will still be there, what they're doing is in part because of the issues you have with your own offense on that day. So it might just go in the garbage can.
We were reminded, though, of the importance of LeSean McCoy to the Bills' offense.
Yeah.
LeSean McCoy played last week in Miami despite tightness in his hamstring. He was questionable going in. He had come out of the game in the third quarter, and now he's questionable once again.
That was about as good I've seen a back play against this defense, don't they? Hightower got shook. Collins go down the guys. Everybody, I mean, could not contain him. He had the ability to get to the edge. That's a concern for them if he's not healthy. If he can't go, that's a big win for the Patriots right there because now you condense everything.
You wonder if it was mismanagement, quite frankly. When you have a guy that has a hamstring injury that popped up, I think, in the practice week a week ago, you could see if you're watching Red Zone or NFL Network or whatever.
Rex is like, I don't know if he was healthy or not. What do you mean? You're the head coach.
All you have to do is you got to just use your eyeballs. In pregame, he was favoring it pretty handily. And if you go out there with a hamstring, which many guys have done, and they say we're going to rep limit you. Well, it's not the number of times. It's you ever have to take it up above red line. If you have to really gear, and then it's going to pull. And it looks like now their most important weapon, coupled with Taylor, last time no one could get them on the ground. It was just a tough game. He might not be there. And a half-speed McCoy is not a concern. His concern is when he's going 100 miles an hour.
The other two guys, as skill players who might not be available or at least could be limited, Marquise Goodwin in concussion protocol after the game against the Dolphins, and Robert Woods has been struggling through an injury of late. He had a terrific game in Foxborough helping Tyrod Taylor. So do you expect the Patriots to have a different defensive approach?
I expect those guys to play. I really do. This is a big game for Buffalo. Rex Bills, this is their Super Bowl. So they've got to push through it. They've got to find a way to do it. If Goodwin doesn't play, I think that helps. Because you can bring safeties down a little bit. Goodwin's the guy that can fly. Woods is the go-to guy. That's the guy he's going to on third down.
Obviously, they're not going to shed any tears here, but, man, that team's beat up. Like, all the things they do well. Sammy Watkins is gone. Woods has been the target in his absence. He's beat up. Goodwin is gone. He's the over-the-top. At least you're going to get a shot play every now and again. But, yeah, as Zoe alludes to this, you want to bring down people. The most dangerous thing is their ability to generate plays in both the run game or with their quarterback running around. If you can't do that, I don't know what else is there.
We know that Rex was reveling in victory after the game here in Foxborough. A lot of pressure in many ways on him in this game because his team was hot, won four in a row, lost to the Dolphins, and we know how much he builds up a matchup with the Patriots perennially.
Yeah, and I'm excited to get up there to see the intensity of what, you know, the first personal foul that the Buffalo gets and then the next one, and just to see Rex lose complete control of the sideline. They need to have discipline in this game, and I just don't think Buffalo could do that.
Contrarian view, I don't think it matters. I don't. I think he got his win. I think he'll look back on 2016 next year, and he'll remember that he won one of these two.
And his Bills overcame a clear lack of discipline before that first matchup with the Patriots with several players fined after a pregame altercation. When we come back on Patriots This Week, Matt and Zoe are going to tell you how the second matchup turns out right after this.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Putnam Investments. You, your advisor, and Putnam. Pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork. And by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
Start Sam Bradford this week. The Vikings quarterback is coming off his worst performance of the season last week against his former team. But Bradford should have a much easier time on the road against the Bears' secondary on Monday night. Mark Ingram has been struggling. Keep the Saints running back on the bench when the Seattle Seahawks and their smothering defense visit the Big Easy. And if your best receiver's on a bye week, check out Cordarrelle Patterson. The Vikings' number two receiver has become an important part of the offense, and Sam Bradford will be looking for him against the Bears' defense. This week's Fantasy Update is brought to you by Verizon. Come home to a better network.
So it's the Patriots and the Buffalo Bills in Week 8 in the NFL season. Pats clearly atop the AFC East. Matt Chatham, will they tighten their grip on the division against the Buffalo Bills this weekend, and who will be the game changer?
I'm going to go 31-17 Patriots, and it's going to be another big game for Blunt. He has no history of running well up there, but no Darius potentially, no Aaron Williams potentially. It's a beat-up defense. They're going to go after him just like Miami did.
I got the Patriots 33-17 in this game, Bob. I like Martellus Bennett as the game changer. Rex Ryan cannot control himself. He's going to overcompensate for Rob Gronkowski. Bennett's going to get about 8 catches, 2 touchdowns in the red zone.
So, for Scott Zolak and Matt Chatham, I'm Bob Soucy. Thanks so much for joining us. When we continue next week on Patriots This Week, we'll get ready for a bye week. Until then, so long, everyone.